Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Fantasy Sports Today.
Now you know. All right. Welcome back. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today. Happy Mother's Day to you. Hopefully you're getting pampered. Right? You deserve it. Happy Mother's Day to my wife, Fran. And all the mothers out there. To your wife, the mother of your children there, George. If you want to put a special shout out to your mom as well.
Oh, do I
Sean,
need your permission?
Your mom, Victoria. Yeah.
Do we need Joe's permission for this?
No, you don't. No, you don't.
Obviously, happy birthday to my mom. So I'll be seeing her in a couple of hours. I still time this. It may be Mother's Day, but I'm still timing it to be there before the Yankee game at 1 so I can watch the game while festivities with mom. Mother Nature not cooperating today at all, though. What a miserable day. We'll certainly be inside, not outside. Happy Mother's Day to my my wife, Maria, as well. And she's very happy. Very happy that my daughter's soccer game was canceled because today was a miserable day. And speaking of miserable days, by the way, if you're playing DFS today, good luck to you. You know, good luck. Everything I'm hearing is that the Mets game is probably going to be a postponement, that they won't play. Mm-hmm. Once again, say it again. It's a miserable day in New York today. It's raining. It's cold. The Mets are playing Miami. Miami comes into New York several times more this year. They can make that game up fairly easily. So I think that's a postponement. And Boston, Baltimore, KC, and the Cubs all have postponement possibilities. You know, some more than others. They may all try to play through it, whatever it might be. So DFS today, especially with starting pitchers, is going to be rough. Because let's face it, you get a starter there, he gets a rain delay, he comes out, you may only get a couple of innings out of him. Very tough today. With so many games with rain problems, you probably can't avoid the mold, Joe, in DFS. I mean, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that's 6 games. You know, can you really take 12 teams out of the mix here? Be very careful in your DFS lineups.
There you go. Good advice coming from George Kurtz today. So let's turn the conversation over to a little bit of football. Last week we looked at the AFC East. Let's take a look at the AFC North. And the way it finished last year, George, Ravens won the division 10-6. Steelers, with all their drama, 9-6-1. Browns, 7-8-1. Bengals, 6-10-0. So let's start with the Ravens. They lost a lot on defense in the offseason. C.J. Mosley, Terrell Suggs, Za'Darius Smith. I mean, it's a lot of sacks to make up. Gave up the second fewest average points per game last year, 17.9. Bears gave up the fewest. Obviously, Lamar Jackson injected a lot of excitement into the team, their quarterback being able to run the game. And George, one of their biggest tasks were to get Lamar Jackson some weapons in this draft.
Does it matter? I mean, it might be the first question I'll ask. Does it matter? Now, I imagine I'm doing a dynasty draft, right? I wanted nothing to do with any Raven wide receiver in the dynasty draft. I mean,
are you Lamar concerned that they're not going to run? They're going to run the ball too much? Is that the concern?
Lamar Jackson will improve. He was an awful thrower. He was god-awful as a thrower last year. I'm not so sure he could have thrown the ball from here and hit my TV. All right? So, the old broadside of a barn thing. So, he was a bad thrower. He'll improve somewhat, but I need to see a lot of improvement before I trust any receiver on this team. I mean, any receiver. Mm-hmm. Marquise Brown and Miles Boykin, they were the two receivers I was talking about in a rookie draft. I wasn't touching them. I don't know if it'll be years down the line. And this is still going to be a running team. You know, that's just the way they're going to run. I don't think they have a choice here. They did. We know Jackson's a great runner, but it's the NFL. Teams will be better prepared for you this year as well. So you keep running, you're going to get hit, and he's not built like Cam Newton. And we've seen even Cam Newton, those hits add up. So they'll be very careful of that. Right, so they're going to run around with Lamar Jackson. Mark Ingram was brought over there, but Ingram's he could have injury problems as well. We've seen this in the past. Mm-hmm. In that rookie draft, I did want Justice Hill, but I wasn't able to get him. Mm-hmm. He went, I think, two picks before I went, so I couldn't get him. They still got Kenneth Dixon and Gus Edwards as well. They're going to run a lot. They really
are.
They're
pretty deep at running back, yeah. The guys you mentioned, Ingram, Edwards had a nice year last year. Even Kenneth Dixon late in the season when he finally played put up some decent numbers. So, I mean, they're pretty deep, I think, at running back, no?
I would agree. Yeah, I think they're deep at running back. Mm-hmm. They may not have a superstar, but Ingram's good. Edwards had a solid last year. Dixon, well, when he's not suspended, he seems to be okay. And Justice Hill, they're very deep at running back. And I think that's they're deep on purpose. Because I think they're going to run a truckload. I guess they're planned to run a truckload. But, you know, you bring up an interesting point in your earlier observation. They lost a lot of defense here. Mosley, Suggs, you know, you mentioned sacks are gone. Well, forget that. What if this defense is giving up points and they can't run the ball as much because they have to throw to get back into games? I don't think they're built for it. Not yet. You know, maybe unless Jackson's making leaps and bounds of improvement. Leaps and browns. Okay. AFC North, Browns. Freudian slip. Unless they're making leaps and bounds here, I don't see this really helping the receiver game here. I don't want Snead. I don't want Marquise Brown, Miles Boykin on my team. I just don't. Not even in a keeper league. I guess in the keeper league last round, you want to play Brown or Boykin. Fine. See what happens there. I don't think it's going to be a great passing team. I don't see it, or even a good passing team. I don't see it at all. If anything, I think the tight ends would be more interesting. Andrews, Hurst, Boyle, because once again, when a quarterback has accuracy issues, that big target over the middle is generally where they like to throw to. Better chance of hitting those guys. But even those guys, I won't have any of them in my top 12.
So I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it sounds like you don't expect too much improvement out of Lamar Jackson, out of his passing ability. Am I reading too much into what you said?
I expect improvement. I do. But it would have to be not enough. Not enough. Yeah. Listen, in fantasy wise, he's a quarterback too, and a two quarterback league. Yeah. I want him. You know, and you can make an argument with his running ability. Because let's face it, what are we saying on average game? He's going to run for 60 yards. That sounds about right. That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. That's a touchdown. If he runs in a touchdown, well, now you got 12 points. If he can throw for one, which is not asking for much, that's one touchdown a game, that's 16 touchdowns on the year. Now you got 16 points plus his passing yardage. And if it's 150 yards, that's still 22 points right there, Joe. I mean, that's why fantasy-wise, he's still a damn good quarterback because of his running ability. That's why we like running quarterbacks. And if they're going to run for 60 yards a game, that's a touchdown right there. And let's face it, everything I pointed out there is not asking for much. Oh, I guess the rushing, assuming one rushing touchdown a game is asking a lot. You know, maybe cut that in half. You know, but then if you want to raise the passing yards to 200 yards a game, which once again is low, I mean, you're not asking for much here. You're just not asking for much from Lamar Jackson to be a good, solid fantasy quarterback. And if he can make, you know, and let's say a steep improvement, a big improvement, in his passing, well, then you talk about fantasy gold here. And you really are here. That being said, I think he'll be a better passer, but not enough for me to make him a quarterback one. I just don't see it. Not with the depth at quarterback nowadays. There are so many good quarterbacks. But I play in several super flex leagues and two quarterback leagues. I have no problem with him as my second quarterback. And I mean no problem. I would take him as my quarterback two in every league.
Right. Do you think they tread water this season? They won 10 games last year. Do you think that they can be at least as good a team as they were last year? Do you think they've improved?
I think they've improved on offense, sure. I mean, when you add the Browns, the Boykins, they'll be better. Lamar Jackson will be better. I just don't know if he's going to be good enough to be a true quarterback yet. I think that might take a couple of years, actually, before you really see that. Another year for the tight ends to get in the offense as well. But except the defense is going to be an issue. I don't think the defense is as good as it was. I mean, you lose Mosley, you lose Suggs. I know Suggs is older.
Yeah.
I get it. But still, he was a presence there, both on the field and in the locker room, too. That's something you lost. You know, Mosley is a great linebacker. That's something you lost. Very hard to replace, though. So if you're asking for the over-under of 10 wins, I'll take the under.
All right, okay. Let's move on to the Steelers. The Steelers finished 9-6-1 last season. Obviously, lots of drama on that team. They need to replace Antonio Brown. You know, Juju is going to be the number one guy. And you know, I agree with you, and you always bring this up, that, you know now being the number one guy is a little different because the defenses are going to focus more on you. You know, James Washington, a second-year wide receiver. From what I understand, he had issues where last season, you know, he was asked to play in a lot of different areas. He was used to playing, I think, on the right side of the field as a college player, so that might have affected him a little bit. Drafted Devin Bush. A lot of people excited about Devin Bush. Consider him Ryan Shazier's replacement, kind of like that anchor in the defense. But I guess that's a lot to ask for a rookie. You know, what are your thoughts on the Steelers this year? They've signed Roethlisberger to an extension. Hopefully that locker room, you know, isn't as divided as I feel that it was last year, you know, with, you know, a lot of the offensive linemen taking, they were a little ticked off about the whole Lev Bell situation. They felt slighted that they weren't getting enough credit for Lev Bell's, production over the years. But what do you think about the Steelers this year? Can they make another run at another division title?
Well, you know, a joke I was making, I mean, when do the Steelers become the Cowboys? With all the off-field or even on-field distractions.
Yeah.
I mean, you only mentioned one of them. You know, the offensive lineman being mad at Le'Veon Bell, Ben Roethlisberger in his mouth, Antonio Brown, and what a disaster that was, and so many problems. I mean, yes, you can make an argument that getting rid of Brown, getting rid of Bell, is addition by subtraction. I don't buy that, but you can make that argument that it'll make the locker room better. You know, it'll make things easier. But you still got Roethlisberger there, and he's a big problem as well. All right, this guy can't shut his mouth either. You know, so he's all sorts of issues there. And the GM pretty much saying that, oh, Roethlisberger can do whatever he wants. Oh, that's a smart thing to say, right? That'll make things much easier. So, I mean, really, good luck there. Listen, I think the offensive line does have a point about Bell. All of a sudden, James Conner was great last year too, right? Before he got hurt, he was fantastic. So maybe it is more of a line than the player. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. I do think Bell is a very good running back. He's a different style of running back. Very patient before he hits the hole. So I think their running game will be fine for Pittsburgh here. Ben is Ben. My thing about Juju is what you said. I mean, now Juju's going to face the number one cornerback every game. Safety over the top. Defense is game playing to stop him. Good luck. You know, good luck. That's not easy to do. He's a different wide receiver than Antonio Brown was. So I'm torn on where to draft Juju. You know, I don't think I'm going to have him in a lot of leagues because I think people are going to believe in him more than necessarily I do. Listen, I would take him somewhere in the second round, third round latest, but I think people are going to draft him early second round. You know, I think I'm more the end of the second round, top of the third round for him, because I think there is some worry there that he can't beat that kind of coverage. You know, I think, once again, conservative draft, I like to see him do it first before I spend on it. You know, so I think the Steelers they better hope that James Washington or Dante Moncrief, you know, Moncrief is there. Good luck with that. Eli Rogers, the rookie, Diontae Johnson, one of these guys steps up. And is there Schuster to Brown? Yeah, where who's gonna be the Juju if Juju is now Antonio Brown? Who's gonna be that secondary receiver that really picks things up, that makes the teams pay for worrying about Juju? And I don't know if they have that. You know, we know they don't really have it at tight end. Vance McDonald, okay, he's an average tight end, nothing special there. So I think his team has taken a hit, a big hit. You can make an argument that they've gotten weaker at every position other than quarterback. You know, we've gotten weaker at tight end. You know, James is gone. Gotten weaker at wide receiver, no Brown. Gotten weaker at running back, no Bell. I mean, that's tough when you can make that argument. Now, I do like the linebacker you mentioned. I know in my Dynasty League, I had a choice. Do I take Devin Bush or do I take White from Tampa Bay? I ended up going the other direction because Devin Bush, I think, still has a little rust to be taken off. Maybe it needs to be acclimated to the pro game, where I think the Tampa Bay linebacker is more ready to play now. That's why I went in that direction. That being said, I do like Bush. And I think eventually he's going to be a very, very good running back, good linebacker. Mm-hmm. So I think I think they have a player here, but I don't know if you're going to see the full impact of his play this year. I think he'll be once again, I know that's a BS statement because most players are going to get better as they go on here. But I think he's a player who might be noticeably better next year than this year. That's what I'm trying to go with that. And as I said, in my dynasty league, for those who are wondering, I went White over Bush. White is the linebacker on Tampa Bay because I believe White is ready to play now and is going to be a three-down linebacker now, which in IDP, that's what you want. And I think he'll just be a better IDP this season. Long term, I'll admit, I think the upside is with Bush over White on Tampa Bay. So if you look at that for IDP range, you may want to think about that as well. But I'm playing to win now. My team is ready to win now in that league. So I don't want to wait for 2 or 3 years down the line. But as for Pittsburgh, I think they made a very good pick there in Bush. And I think they needed that to replace Shazier. Certainly wish the best for Ryan Shazier, that things work out for him. T.J. Watt is a player on the outside line, as an outside linebacker. Lord knows, as a Cowboy fan, really wish they would have taken him over Taco Charlton, as that hasn't worked out whatsoever.
you mentioned Juju, and like you wondering where he was going to be going in drafts. I'm looking at Fantasy Football Calculator, the PPR ADP. He actually went he was the fifth wide he's being taken as the fifth wide receiver at pick overall 19. So do you think that's fair for him?
Yeah, that's what I said, mid-second round. That's where he's going. And when I say I'm down here, I said the end of the second round. So I'm like 3-4 picks later. So once again, you're just splitting hairs here of which guy you want here. I just have some worries that until I see it, it's the way I am, Joe, in all leagues, baseball, football, hockey. Until I see that you can do it, I don't like to pay the price because I don't know if you can do it. What if he's a bomb? What if he can't figure it out? You know, I think he'll put up numbers, but what if they're not big numbers? Because once again, top cornerback every game. He's not facing this the number two, number three cornerback. He's not. So I think that's going to be a big part of this. You know, can he beat that top coverage? I'm not saying he can't. I just haven't seen him do it yet on a consistent basis.
Right. Any concern about James Conner? And you think Benny Snell could have a little bit of a role this year, running back out of Kentucky?
Well, Snell will have a role because, once again, no running back is going to play every snap, you know, and get 30-plus carries every game. But the days of Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith, those are long gone. You know, that's not going to happen again. So Snell will have a role, but it's more of a handcuff. You know, I have no problem drafting James Conner. Once again, end of the first round, top second round, I'll draft him. No issues whatsoever. And I'm not a big handcuff guy. I'm not generally. I want the best backup running back available rather than a handcuff. Because I want guys to cover my buys and all that. But I think that's what Snell is. I think he's a handcuff more than a true backup.
Gotcha. When we come back, we'll talk Bengals-Browns. We're talking fantasy football next segment. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy Mother's Day.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, good stuff. Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That Gabe? Sean? Is that Gabe? Yeah, that. I like it. Sounds good.
That was his band Homicide. They're releasing new material soon.
They are.
Looking forward to it. All right.
They just fixed some little things there.
All right. Fantasy Sports Today, Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all. So we were talking a little AFC North action. Yeah, what's up, George? You sound like you wanted to say something. You okay?
No, I'm angry.
About what?
I'm angry at Aaron Boone. Because this is what I think would have been.
We got a lineup?
Yeah, the Yankees do have a lineup. And they're sitting Gleyber Torres and they're sitting Gary Sanchez. You know, I understand Sanchez is probably sitting because he got hit in the he got a foul tip in the mask and he underwent a concussion protocol. Although it looks like he's fine as far as that's concerned. But it's probably more for a day game after a night game like they do. And the reason I'm mad is this.
Yeah.
All right, you're sitting Torres, who doesn't need to be sat, by the way. You're playing the Rays. Rays are in first place, right? Game and a half behind them. Like, I mean, Blake Snell, left-handed. So you want all your right-handers in the lineup as possible. You sit Torres, you sit Sanchez, two of your best right-handed hitters, right? It means you're facing, you're playing Romine, and now you're forced to play Tautman. You know, Tautman's now, he's a lamb to the slaughter, right? Because he's going to get destroyed by Snell. Yeah, he'll have no chance of hitting him. He's the only left-hander in the lineup. The reason why this is annoying, though, I understand players need rest. I mean, does Boone not look ahead? The Yankees are playing Baltimore tomorrow. All right, last I checked, Baltimore's a terrible team. Why not rest these guys during that game? And there's also a good chance tomorrow, as I brought up, the weather is not good for the Yankees tomorrow. Chance the game might be rained out? Probably not. I mean, I don't think it'll be rained out, but there's still a chance it could be rained out. Why isn't he looking ahead? The Yankees are also off on Thursday. That's not going to change. All right, so they can easily rest then. I don't get this. What Boone is saying is we're going to lose today. That's what he's saying. We're going to lose today to Tampa.
He's giving up, Snell, it sounds like, right?
Right. He's giving the game away. I would understand you. Sanchez is out, fine. Day game at the night. I don't agree with it, but fine. Even though he missed a couple of weeks, so he's well rested. Don't get it. Just don't get it. Why Torres is out to me is mind-boggling. The guy's hitting great. I know he got hit on the elbow on Friday, but the elbow is fine. He had two hits yesterday, playing great. Right? And you take him out of a lineup. It just makes no sense to me. Like I said, you take two of your better hitters out. You're putting Tautman in, who's, like I said, a complete zero. Now, he'll have no chance against Snell today. Tanaka, he knows he's going to give up some runs. That's what he does every game anyway. Boone's done a really good job keeping his team together through the injury, so it's hard to get on him. But last couple of days, his managerial decisions have been strange. Just strange with what he's doing. As I said, taking CC out after 76 pitches yesterday, and when the bullpen needs the rest and forcing the bullpen now to throw four innings, you know, just strange to me. Strange. Speaking of that bullpen, by the way, Chad Green was recalled. Baltimore has also said today that they expect to play their game, although it's going to be probably an hour, two and a half hour rain delay. Keep in mind, they're playing the Angels. The Angels may not come back into town as far as Baltimore. And obviously, Angels, West Coast, they might wait a long time to get that game in. So, like I said, they think the Mets game is probably going to be canceled. That's not official yet, but they think it probably will be. Baltimore, they think, will play, but it will be a long delay.
Also, King Felix Hernandez, placed on the 10-day IL.
Who cares?
Right shoulder strain.
If this hurts anybody's fantasy team, then what? Really, you're playing the game wrong. If you still have King Felix on your team,
then you play in a 20 team league.
Right. Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah, you're in an 18 team league. Fine. AL only. Even those leagues, you got to be able to do better than King Felix. But you're right. There's probably is some league. Maybe it's a Seattle only league. You know, hey, in this case, yes, I guess losing King Felix could hurt, but yeah, he's on the IL with a shoulder strain, so he's out as well. But I don't think that's that should not be affecting your team whatsoever.
All right. So we were talking AFC North. What do we think about the over/under based on last year's number win total for the Steelers? There, George, they were 9-6-1.
9-6-1. So I guess we're going to set the over/under at 9. Oh God, that's a pretty good number here. I think the locker room will be better with no Brown, no Bell, but the talent. You can't tell me the talent level is the same. You can't sell me on that. Mm-hmm. All right, you can't lose all that talent and be just as good a team here. You just can't. Cleveland Browns are a good team. Baltimore, I may have them under their win total last year, but not massively under. I still think they're going to be a good team as well. Cincinnati, they're so-so at best. But what I'm trying to say is there's a couple losses that could come right within their division there. All right? So let's take a look at their schedule here. about who they got to play. It's always important when you talk wins and losses, see who a team plays here. Now, like I said, their division, let's say I'll give them, just for giggles, let's give them two losses of a division. And I think it could be three, but we'll give them two losses in a division. Do they play New England again? They do. Oh, they start against New England. At New England. All right, three. All right, I'll give New England the win there at home in the openers, celebrate the Super Bowl and all that. Seattle, San Fran, Cincinnati, Baltimore. Chargers, I think, is another loss. Indianapolis, they play the Rams. Wow. Their schedule is not fun through the first nine games, I'll tell you that. It gets a little easier in the second half. We got to play Cleveland twice, Arizona both. Oh, their second half, they need to survive the first half. You know, if they can go 500 in the first half, they'll be okay. Because their second half schedule, outside of the Cleveland games, every other game is winnable. You know, that last game against Baltimore, that could be tough, but maybe that game means nothing by then. So I think if it's nine, if it's 8.5, I'd go over. I think 9 is the right number. I think they're going to win 9 to 10 games.
There you go. All right. The other team in this division, the Browns, they've already been crowned Super Bowl champs, haven't they?
Yeah, I don't know why we're even watching football this year. Seriously, yeah. there's no point to it.
Just
you can play your fantasy, draft all your Browns. let's go right to the draft next year. Let's go to the draft.
Interesting team, huh? I mean, Browns 7-8-1 last year. O-line played better as the season went on, only allowed 5 sacks in their last 8 games. Picked up cornerback Greedy Williams, already predicting a Super Bowl win. It was their first round pick. Of course, the trade for OBJ, second year for their quarterback. Dropped his name, George. Baker Mayfield. Couldn't think of Baker Mayfield. How could you not think of Baker Mayfield's name? Shows you I'm getting old, George. Second year for Baker Mayfield in the league. A little upside there, maybe. Kareem Hunt, eligible to come back after week 8. Nick Chubb, the primary back before that as well. What are we thinking about the Browns this year? Too much hype or what?
Well, first off, all the talk is reminding me, I think it was the Eagles several years back, and they talked a lot of shit during before the season even started, and then they ended up imploding, didn't go well. So that's the first thing it reminds me of. That being said, I mean, you got to like this team. It's hard not to like this team. You know, it's funny.
On paper, very deep.
Right, we've all gotten on Beckham for his antics over the years. Right, we've all gotten on him. Mm-hmm. I don't know why people are getting on him for him saying he wants the Browns to be the new Patriots. He didn't say they are the Patriots. He said he wanted the team to be the new Patriots. What's wrong with that?
Right.
What's wrong with him? I've gotten on Beckham as much as anybody else for all the stupid crap he's done. I don't think there's anything wrong with that statement. None.
I don't think so either.
What's he supposed to say? He wants to be the new Cardinals? I mean, come on. There was nothing. There was nothing of that. As you mentioned, they're very deep. All right, you got Mayfield starting quarterback. You got Chubb. We know Kareem Hunt, who suspended for the first half of the season. He could be back in the second half. Beckham, Landry at your wide receivers with Callaway, Higgins there behind. I like the Joker with tight end. He's a top 12 for me fairly easily. I think a team can score points. I do. I think Baker Mayfield's a quarterback one as well, by the way. I think the defense is at least solid, probably better than that. They traded for Olivia Vernon for the Giants. From the Giants, I think he'll work better in this system than he did for the Giants. Richardson at defensive tackle. You still got Myles Garrett, the first-round pick in the past. Joel Schobert's an underrated linebacker there. That's probably where their weakness lies here, is the linebacker and secondary. You know, Denzel Ward, we'll see if he can still live up to being that first-round pick. Morgan Burnett, the ex-Packer. So I like their front four. They're, back seven, we'll see how that works out there. I think that is the weakness of this team, but I think they're a good team. I do. I do think they win the division. I do. I think, and I think it's good to see. By the way, this Cleveland deserves this. You know, it's funny. I'm at the hockey rink the other night. I'm reffing, and they're playing the fumble. The game, I guess they had the NFL Network on. They're showing that game. That's when Ernest Byner fumbled back in, I don't know, somewhere in the mid-80s with John Elway there in the fumble and the driving back-to-back years. I think it was 86 offhand that cost the Cleveland Browns. And I bring that up because I wonder now if Cleveland can be that team again, a team that it's going to have to be reckoned with. You know, a team that for the next couple of years will have a window open to be a dangerous team. I'm not crowning them Super Bowl champions yet. I'm not. But I do think they win this division. Even if they don't win the division, I think they're certainly in the playoff hunt here. I don't see them imploding. It's the NFL. You and I both know it, Joe. There could be a rash of injuries, and they're done anyway.
Sure.
You never know.
Sure.
There's always a team or two that has that. Everybody gets hurt. You just can't survive it. But as you and I keep pointing out, they're a deep team. You know, you take out Mayfield, yeah, okay, and that might be it. But at any other position, they can probably survive an injury or two and be okay.
So 7-8-1 last year, you expect them to contend for the division title, this division title. So you're thinking maybe, what, a 10-win season out of them?
I mean, I guess that. I don't think that's asking all that much. I don't. You know, once again, their division is tough. You know, it's not easy.
Everything
they'll
falls
have some
into place.
Everything falls place. I mean, their opening schedule is rough. I mean, it's not easy. Tennessee. We know Tennessee is a decent squad. Jets. Okay, Jets have a Jets. Rams. Baltimore. At San Fran. That's not going to be easy going out to San Fran. They're an improved team as well. That's a Monday night game. Seattle's at home. New England. At Denver. Never fun. Buffalo, Pittsburgh, Miami. So you get an easier outside of the Pittsburgh games. So you got to take advantage there. Cincinnati, Arizona. The last half. They're the opposite of. Actually, they're the same as Pittsburgh. Tough first half, easier second half. So they need to, once again, survive their first half and then make hay in the second half. And, you know, if they do more than survive in the first half, they can be completely dangerous because, like I said, their second half's not all that tough. So, I think 10 wins, I could see them doing that. I could see them even doing better if they are as good as we think they are and if they can stay healthy. 11 wouldn't shock me, but I got them winning that division.
Yeah. Remember, they have a first-year coach. I know he took over, Kitchens took over, mid-season, whatnot. So we'll see how he does. Bengals 6-10 last year. First year for Zach Taylor off the Rams coaching tree, right? Was their assistant wide receiver coach and quarterback coach after that. So offensive-minded. We're thinking maybe he gets the running game going a little bit more, right? Maybe a little bit more opportunities for Joe Mixon, Giovanni Bernard. They even drafted a couple other running backs there. That Travion Williams, Giovanni Bernard on the last year of his contract. Maybe they get Travion Williams involved a little bit more. What do you think about the Bengals? They also, talk about an offensive-minded coach and all this. Their defense was pretty bad last year as well. They finished 32nd in overall defense with just under 414 yards allowed per game. Offensive line was an issue, too. I mean, this team had a lot to work on, but I'm sorry for interrupting you.
Speaking of Travion Williams, he was just drafted in that Dynasty League, by the way. I mean, literally just drafted. And he was on my list of one of those running backs I wanted to take. So that's one running back down. But I think I had five on that list, and I picked four. So I'll get one of those guys, even if there is a running back run. But Travion Williams just drafted. So funny you should bring him up. I blame you now.
There you go.
I think you jinxed me.
Sorry.
I don't want to hear sorry. I blame you.
Get over it, right?
Suck it up. All right, suck it up. As for the Browns, I mean, listen, Andy Dalton is what Andy Dalton is. I mean, he's an average quarterback. He can't win you games by himself. He's not going to bring you to the promised land here. I think they should have taken a quarterback. I probably would have taken Haskins when he was available at 11. I think I would have went that direction. They didn't. Now, maybe they're doing sort of what we thought Miami was doing, and they're playing for the quarterback next year. Right? Next year's draw quarterback class will be very strong. Maybe they're going to try and get Tay, whatever. But I think this team's not going anywhere until you get a quarterback. And Andy Dalton's not that guy. He's a veteran. That's all I can say. He's a veteran quarterback. That's all he is. Nothing special here. Joe Mixon, I think, is a good running back. Very good, actually. Giovanni Bernard's still there. I mean, they're deep at running back. Mixon, Bernard, Travion Williams, and Rodney Anderson. I like that. I like that a lot. I think it's very very deep, and I think you have a little bit of everything there, right? You have your true first and second down guy, your third down catch out of the backfield guy. You have more than one at each, so I like that. Wide receiver, A.J. Green, Tyler Boyd, John Ross. I like that. All right, tight end has some work you need to do there. Uzomah, Eifer can't stay healthy. Uzomah is blah. So there's not much to look at there. The defense, they're a mess at linebacker. I mean, Vigil, Preston Brown, Jordan Evans, that's nothing special there whatsoever. They have some issues there, to put it nicely, that they'll need to work out. And I think that could be a problem. Jermaine Pratt, who they drafted here as an outside linebacker, maybe he could do some damage if he can come in and play. And he's somebody IDP-wise to keep an eye on. But no, I don't think he's a top IDP player. I don't. So I think that's where their issue is. I think their offense, if Dalton can have a good year, an average quarterback can have a good year, he can make them competitive, but he'd have to have a very good year, because I think the defense is a bit of a mess. Here's where I'm going with this. So Dalton, to be an 8-8 team, I think Dalton has to have a good year. If he has a poor year, I think you're looking at 4-12, you know, 5-11, somewhere around there. So I think this all depends on Dalton. He needs to sort of carry this team, and you know, I think you know how I feel. I don't think he can do it. Their schedule. You know, San Fran, Buffalo, Jacksonville's got a game. The Rams, again, they played the NFC West, which outside of Arizona is not very, not a lot of fun here. It's not a difficult schedule. It's sort of a mixed bag here. But I think it all depends on Dalton for me, and I don't trust Dalton whatsoever.
Yeah. When healthy, I mean, Dalton, serviceable. I don't think he makes the players around him all that much better. But I think you pin it on the nail on the head when you mentioned about next year's quarterback class. So we'll see what happens. But Bengals are work in progress. We'll turn the tables, talk a little fantasy baseball when we come back. Fantasy Sports Today. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy Mother's Day.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
All right, we're back on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Sports Today, and it is a happy day. It's Mother's Day. Happy Days was one of my favorite shows growing up. Were you a Happy Days fan? Were you a big Fonzie fan there, George?
No, I really wasn't. No. I think back in the day, it was on Wednesdays. And I remember after Happy Days was Starsky
Tuesdays.
And Hutch.
Tuesdays.
Tuesdays. Yeah. I was a big more of a Starsky and Hutch fan after.
What'd you think of the Starsky and Hutch movie?
Oh, well, I didn't watch. No, that wasn't Starsky. They made it more of a comedy. Christ.
Yeah,
God,
it was.
No.
It was tongue-in-cheek. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I didn't see it. I didn't
Ben
see the
Stiller
Miami Vice movies when it came out with Colin Farrell either. No,
yeah,
I like the originals.
I was never
the originals
really big Miami Vice
almost
guy
always
anyway.
So much better. I like Miami Vice. I liked Miami Vice in the day because the music was great on it too. I mean, that all the a lot of Phil Collins solo stuff was on there, along with many other big artists. So I thought the music was always great on the show, and I liked Crockett and Tubbs, and it got a little bad. When they dealt with the actual drugs, that there was a good police show. At the I think the last season got more into sort more political stuff, which is weird. You know, I guess they got the Cuban stuff down there. It got more into that, and I didn't like the show as much. And I think they had a big arc too, where Sonny Crockett, he was the cop on the show, became his alter ego, which is Sonny Burnett, I believe, because he got hit in the head, and so he didn't know which one he was. He was a bad guy for a while. That was just completely stupid. But,
yeah, it sounds like that jumped the shark at that stage, right?
Yeah, that might have been the jump the shark moment. Yeah, that's very true.
Right. So can we dig up any, like, photos of you dressed in Miami Vice style? Because they started the whole, no socks and the white suits and all that stuff. Can we find stuff, some pictures of you from the 80s? Where you're
I'm sure you can find pictures of me from the 80s, but not in Miami. No, I never dressed like that. I very rarely go out without socks and sneakers, period. I'm not a big guy who likes – I don't like wearing sandals and stuff like that. I like to have socks on. I don't like that thing when you wear sandals that goes between your toes. I don't like that. I don't mind Crocs. I know people make fun of those, but because they cover your feet, I don't have to wear that thing between my toes. So Definitely not a Samuels guy, though. I like to be able to run at any moment, like where you feel like you can.
Right, right. And you can't run with flip-flops on, right? Because that's the thing between your toes.
You can, but, man, you're probably going down eventually.
Yes. All right. So let's go back to a little baseball. You're the closer guru. Any news out there? How about Luke Jackson? Is he officially the guy to own when it comes to closers in the Braves bullpen? I mean, A.J. Minter sent down to AAA. What's going on there in Atlanta?
Yeah, they said the Minter was terrible. That's the bottom line. Minter was terrible. I mean, he was bad. A change had to be made there. It's Luke Jackson's job for now. I know Venter's got the save last night, but that was more because Jackson had had pitched 2 games before. So, yeah, so Jackson's available. Right. You want to claim him. I'm going to be claiming him tonight in any league where he's available. And I know my home league, it's a must for me because I need a closer badly. I'm trying to make a trade in that league with somebody. They offered him Josh Bell and Adam Wainwright. Felipe Vasquez. So I'm hoping to get that deal done, as he has 3 closers. He can afford to give up one. So I'm hoping to close that deal. He has Joey Votto at first base. Scary, but that's where it's come down to. Where Josh Bell would be a much better upgrade over Joey Votto, and he knows it. And Adam Wainwright's more of a throw in there, as he could use an extra pitcher, and I have pitching to spare that I don't mind losing Wainwright. So I'm hoping to get that deal done today, because then I won't claim Luke Jackson tonight. But if not, then yes, I'll be heavy on Jackson. He is the closer for Atlanta. If you're asking me, Joe, do I think he has the job all year? No, I don't. I think, once again, he'll lose it eventually, and you'll need to get somebody else. But he's the closer for now on a decent team, so you go out and grab him. As for Craig Kimbrell, I know people are going to keep asking about this. He's not going to sign with anyone now, and neither will Keuchel, by the way, until after the draft. Once the draft's over, we're close enough to it now, there'll be no compensation. Teams won't lose a pick for signing these guys. So that's what it's going to come down to now. They won't lose their pick, so they'll wait. There's no reason to sign either one now. Drafts in a couple of weeks. So they'll wait. Both guys are going to have to wait until after that, and then we'll see what happens. If they don't sign after that, then that's just shocking. I think it's shocking, really, me that either one signed right now. But like I said, no chance either one signing until after the amateur draft. So you can Kimbrel's not coming for at least another month. And after that, you got to figure how long does it take them to be able to pitch in Major League games. You know, you can make an argument right now that July, really, before either one's ready to pitch in a major league game, half the season's gone. You know, Kimbrell, we've heard now what the news that came out this morning was that the Rays are still keeping in touch with Kimbrell.
Yeah.
That's nice. I don't think they'll sign him, but they're still keeping in touch with them. Yeah, I'm sure there's several other teams, too. Braves have to be in.
Yeah, they said the Braves, Brewers, Nationals.
Really, any team could, because every team needs, for a prorated amount that he's going to get, every team could be in on it, because even if you don't need a closer, he'd probably sign to be an eighth inning guy now. Hell, the Yankees could be involved. And after the bullpen, why the hell not?
Yeah.
You know, make it, it's not like a Batantas going back anytime soon. And even if he does, make it a 5-inning game and you throw all these guys out there. You know, so I think it'd be very intriguing to see who ends up with Kimbrel.
Start using an opener.
Exactly. You could do that too. I don't think the Yankees would go that direction, mind you, but they could. You know, especially with someone like John
Domingo Herman. How many innings do you think he could pitch this year?
Yeah, I was looking at that the other day as well.
You know?
He's been the Yankees' best pitcher. It really hasn't been all that close as far as Domingo Germán. And the Yankees don't necessarily abide or think that 40-inning thing is the Bible where they have to go by it. But they're not going to crush it either, you know, where they're going to let them go a million innings over it. So you look at it. Last year he pitched 85, 86, doing the math here. He pitched in a lot of different places last year. 7, 8. He only threw 93 innings last year.
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
I mean, 150 would sound about right for what they'd allow him to go this year. And he's already at 43. You know, I do wonder what happens. Assuming everyone – this is a huge assumption, by the way. But when Severino comes backwards in the second half – right? If Paxton will be back by then. So if everyone's healthy, who comes out of the rotation? Think about it. Severino, Tanaka, Paxton, Happ, Sabathia.
CeCe.
Or that'd be the obvious. That'd be the obvious one. But I don't. Once again, as you've seen with the Yankees and several other teams, they always pay the homage to the veteran. So it's a guy they love. They love CeCe. I don't know if they would do that. Do they go to a 6-man rotation? I bring that up because a six-man rotation might alleviate some of the inning problems for Domingo German. You know, or right, do you put him in the bullpen? You know, that sort of thing. Do you make him an opener for CeCe? You know, let him go three innings and CeCe, whatever you decide to do here, are him and CeCe back-to-back. Is that what they're doing with CeCe? You saw it last night, five innings, 76 innings pitches. Do they not want him to go through a lineup a third time ever? So he's just going through the lineup twice. So would him and German, when everyone's healthy, this is 2 months down the line, so really, you know, the Yankees may never have to worry about this if anybody else gets hurt. But is that how the Yankees are going to approach this, where German and CeCe are pretty much the starters for their that one game? You know, I wonder if that's the direction they go as well. Or does this even matter? If German keeps pitching this well, none of this matters. Someone else has to come out of the rotation and not German. Right now, he is pitching great. And I said, so this may not matter because he's pitching too well right now. So it's curious to see how it's going to play out here with the Yankees, assuming if everyone ever gets healthy.
Right. So you mentioned Kimbrel. Well, any other closes that you want to mention? Because you mentioned Kimbrel. We talked about Luke Jackson. Any other things we should be looking at on the closer front? Or just basically we've covered the major stories there?
Well, with the close, listen, Texas, right? Sean Kelly went on the IL. Chris Martin is now their closer, but I don't think that lasts long term. Leclerc is pitching better again. Now, it's only been a couple of outings, Joe, so I think they want him to show it a little bit more, but I thought they might go back to him right away. I was a little surprised he didn't get the job back right away, but bottom line is I don't think that's that far off. So if you have him, I'm holding on to him. I think you're okay there. Well, he'll get the job back very quickly. Pedro Strop. He went on the IL for Chicago Cubs. Morrow's already on the IL.
Right.
Sishek blew his first save when he gave him the chance. Cubs are another team that could use a Craig Kimbrel, by the way. But I don't know if they'll spend the money as well. Sishek and Edward would probably
came out and
the,
said there's no closer there now, right? He just said, you know,
he's
point blank.
Wants to go by committee. Good luck. So not good, but it's a mess there in Chicago. As far as other teams, Los Angeles Angels, Cody Allen came back this week, but he had lost a job before he went on the IL. All right, and he didn't get it back right away. Right now, it's Hansel Robles. I think they will give Cody Allen another shot eventually. When that chance is anyone's guess. I don't think that really matters, though. He's not somebody you want. He's been terrible before he joined the Angels. He was terrible with Cleveland, so not a good bet there. Miami, they're another team. Steckenrider, who was just put on a 60-day deal, by the way, which we didn't see coming. Not that really matters. It's Miami, but Sergio Romo is the guy you want there now. They have more of a committee team as well. But Romo should lead that committee fairly easily. Looks like Blake Parker leads the committee for Minnesota. Blake Treinen, you can breathe a sigh of relief, right? Because it looked like earlier this week, at this time last week, we thought he was going on the IL. Had a little elbow problem there. They should have put him on the IL. I think they kept him out 10 days anyway, but they didn't. But he's okay. Pitched a couple of times this week, so he's fine. You know, like I said, you can breathe a sigh of relief with Blake Treinen. I think he got lucky there. David Robertson still not ready to return for Philadelphia. He's still Hector Neris there for the Phillies. And I wonder, Joe, Neris has pitched pretty well. I wonder if Robertson is not necessarily the closer when he comes back, or at least has to earn the trust again by pitching in maybe high leverage situations, pitch well, and then get the closer job back. I'm sticking with Neris if I'm Kaplan. I'm not moving on there, but they haven't said it. As far as Bruce Bochy and San Fran keep saying for some reason that Melanson's going to get save opportunities. Why? I mean, is it because you want to try and trade him? I mean, everybody knows Melanson's terrible. All right, you're not going to be able to move that contract. Good luck. Keep Will Smith in that role. Although maybe Will Smith gets moved too. That wouldn't shock me at all. Seattle, Strickland is throwing. So he could be back sometime in the next couple of weeks for Seattle. Not that I really think it matters. I don't think he's an ace closer at all. Right now it's still Swarzak and Romanes Elias. Neither one's all that great. Tampa Bay is a mess. It's weird. They're not using Alvarado in save situations. I don't know why. You know, he's pitched pretty well. He did have a little hiccup earlier this month, but he doesn't have a save. I think it's April 7th. Think about that. Over a month now without a save. They've used Pagan. They've used Castillo. I think Alvarado. I don't know. I wonder, Joe, if they're one of those teams that are doing what I said earlier. They're using their best reliever when they need it, not necessarily in the ninth inning.
Right.
Yeah. I haven't seen enough evidence. They haven't come out and said that, and I haven't seen enough evidence to confirm that when I've seen the games. But I wonder if that's what they're doing here, and that's why we haven't seen Alvarado get a save since April 7th. He was like God in the first 10 days, 2 weeks of the season, and then all of a sudden they went away from him. You know, and I don't know what the reason is there, but I know it is very annoying for fantasy owners.
All right. Great stuff coming out of the closer guru, George Kurtz. In the last couple of minutes we have in the show, Madison Bumgarner talked about yesterday his 8-team no-trade list was made public. Supposedly the Braves, Red Sox, Cubs, Astros, Brewers, Yankees, Phillies, and Cardinals are on that team. Or on that no-trade list. But it's not really a no-trade list, right? I mean, they're calling it a no-trade list, but it looks like it's a strategy that, you know, he and his agents are using.
It's 100% a strategy. Well, all they're doing here is saying, hey, they took all the top teams. You know, you got every team he named here is a top
the
team.
The ones that are going to be looking for one.
The ones that I'll be looking for, and this will allow him to do two things. One, possibly negotiate a contract extension. Unlikely, tough to do at the deadline that quick. But it'll allow him to say, you want me to waive it? All right, $1 million. That's generally what it's going to be, $1 million for me to waive it. He'll get paid more. That's what it is. It's all a strategy. That's all it is. It's not like he doesn't want to go pitch for these teams. Maybe a couple of them he doesn't. He might be legitimate, but it's way too much of a coincidence that these are all top teams and everybody knows it. Right. It's just the way the game is played. You know, it's dangerous because there may be a place he really doesn't want to go to, and now he gets traded there instead. You know, so it depends on what's more important to you. Is it getting more money important to you, or is it make sure you pitch where you're happy? You know, I think me personally, I probably would have chosen, I want to make sure I don't get traded to a place I don't want to go to. He may legitimately not want to go on to the Yankees or Boston. Maybe he doesn't want to pitch on the East Coast. You know, that could be legitimate. But to say all 8 of those teams are legitimate, I highly doubt it.
Supposedly brought up as a Braves fan, so they were a little surprised that the Braves were on his list.
He's not going to the Braves anyway, though. That's one team if I were him, I wouldn't have put on that list. They are loaded with young pitching talent. They're not giving up some of that talent with Bumgarner or any other pitcher. I doubt it anyway. I think they'll keep doing what they're doing as far as they're churning the bottom of their rotation, right? They keep bringing up the youngsters, trying to find out who fits, and I think they found out who fits now. I think they know Soroka and Fried are the bottom of their rotation guys. That being said, Bumgarner is certainly better than Gausman, certainly better than Julio Teheran. Easily, I would have him over those two. Easily, it wouldn't even be close, but I don't think they'd be willing to give up Austin Riley, you know, or Toussaint or somebody like or a combination for Bumgarner. I don't see that happening, even though Bumgarner would be, that'd certainly be an upgrade.
All right. Yankees, if they're looking for a starting pitcher, would you rather see them add Bumgarner or Dallas Keuchel?
Yankees aren't going to add a starting pitcher. You and I just discussed it. Who are you taking out of the lineup? Now you got to take somebody else out. What about when Domingo Germán? You know, Severino comes back. You know, who else are you taking out? You know, there's a problem there for the Yankees. You know, CC, yes, so we can see him taken out, but you're already taking him out when Severino comes back if you're going to keep Domingo Germán in. Now, if you had another starting pitcher, who are you taking out? You know, are you going to take out J.A. Happ? Just sign him to a 3-year deal. Well, a 2-year deal with an option that probably will kick in. Good luck. You know, what are you going to do with him for the next 2-plus years? You know, Tanaka? I don't think you're not taking him out. You're certainly not taking Paxton out. So who are you taking out? You know, that's the problem. People keep putting the people on the Yankees that have no place to play unless there's another injury. So, no, I don't think
which,
that happens. I'd
not a shocker with the way they had 13
players. Oh, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's an injury. We can certainly reevaluate this if there's another injury. By the way, in that Dynasty League, Drew Locke just got taken. Daniel Jones still out there, but Drew Locke just went.
Wow. Here's a quick one before we go. Drew Locke or Daniel Jones, who gets their first NFL start?
Oh, I'll go Drew Locke. I'll go Drew. I think Giants seem to be, they want to die with Eli Manning, so let them die.
and they might. Hey, happy Mother's Day to your mom, to your wife, to Sean's mom. Thanks for tuning in to Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Happy Mother's Day, everyone. Have a great day.
Happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Have a great day.